Welcome, everybody. We are about to start a really amazing, monumental Torah here in Likutei Moran. And it is, it's first of all, I wanted to say this is sponsored again by the Schiffman family, Brian and Michelle Schiffman. This year is sponsored today. And it should be also for a Zuchus, for a Refuah Shlema, for Yaakov Yisrael ben Rachel, for Rivka Bas Leah, and for Tinuk ben Masha Malka. And so we're starting a Torah. It's the second lesson in the second section of Likutei Moran, Torah Beis in Tinyana, and its title is Yemei Chanukah, the days of Chanukah. And this Torah is something very, very, very special. There's a lot here. It's very deep. In the Kollel, we're learning it now for a period of 4 months straight, every single night, for an hour. We're putting a lot of time into it. And it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and more amazing. So there's a lot here, a lot to see. And we're just going to do our best to bring out as many of the concepts we can and to bring down as much of the light of Rabbi Nachman that we can. We always have a caveat when sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't, when we're teaching, learning over Likutei Moran together. And that is that everything that I'm saying here, I'm not saying that this is what Rabbi Nachman says. I'm saying this is my take on it. This is my understanding of what Rabbi Nachman is trying to give over to us. And Rabbi Nachman's words are so deep and there's thousands of levels upon levels. So we're just, this is my take on what Rabbi Nachman is saying over here. Second thing I want to remind everybody, now that we're starting sort of a new tekufa, a new period in our learning over here. I want to remind everybody that please, we're recording, so let's hold the questions until the end. And then we'll have plenty of time to speak and to discuss and to talk. Imritz Hashem, and God willing. Okay, so let's start. Torah Beis in Tinyana. I don't know if Shalom, were you able to get it up from Sfaria there?
I'm actually looking for it. You said it's not regular Likutei Moran.
It's Likutei Moran's second section. There's two sections to Likutei Moran. So there's about 300 lessons in the first section and then another bunch in the second section. It's all in the same book, though. Like, if you pull up Likutei Moran on Sefaria, it'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we can get Shalom to put it into the...
Part two?
Yeah, exactly. If we can get Shalom to put it into the group, that would be fantastic. Into the chat, and then we'll be able to see it. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. So, the Torah begins. Yemei Chanukah, Hem Yemei Hoidah. The days of Chanukah are the days of Thanksgiving, right? Who knows, people have these things where they say, oh, this holiday is the Jewish so-and-so. This holiday is the Jewish so-and-so, depending on the time of year. Rabbi Nachman is telling us over here that Chanukah is the Jewish Thanksgiving. Yemei Chanukah, Yemei Hoidah, days of thankfulness, of gratitude. So what does that mean? K'mo shekasuv, like we say in the Gemara says this, Gemara in Shabbos, and we say it in the prayers that we say in Al Nisim, the Kavu Shmoinas Yemei Chanukah Elu LaHoidaisu LaHalal, and the sages established these 8 days of Chanukah to thank and to praise. So it's right there in the words that we say, that Chanukah is a time of thankfulness, of gratitude, of thanks, and of praise, Rabbi Nachman says. So we should take note that he's saying here thanks and praise. Should also note that you have L'hoidai Sulahalal. Now he says, V'yemei hoida ze b'chinas sha'ashua ilam haba. There's another word of hoida. And sha'ashua ilam haba. So this is going to be one of the main topics of our of our shiur tonight. Shashua Olam Haba. So this is usually translated as the delight of Olam Haba, of the world to come. Shashua is usually translated as delight. Okay, and what I'm going to try to do tonight, to the best of my ability, is to try and understand something about what this word Shashua means. If you remember, one of the principles of learning Likutei Moran is that we're not supposed to go to outside sources and commentaries too much. Rather, we're supposed to try and find within the words of Rabbi Nachman and within all of the other paragraphs, meaning what the meanings are. But one of the principles is, if you don't know what just the simple meaning of a subject is, you need to go into those books, those svarim, that teach you what that subject is, what the foundational aspects of that subject is, and then you can go farther. So, Shashua Olam Haba, I know that if you look in English translations, it's going to tell us that it's the delight of Olam Haba, but this word, Shashua, Shin Ayin, Shin Ayin, I don't know what this means. Like, I don't hear it anywhere else. Why is that delight? What does it have to do with delight? I want to know, we have to figure out what this word means, Shashua Olam Haba. He's telling us, Chanukah is an aspect of the delight of Olam Haba, of the world to come. So we got to figure this out. We're going to read through the whole first paragraph and then come back. Kizeh ikir Shashua Olam Haba. This is the main delight of the world to come, Shashua Olam Haba. Is lahoydeis ulahala l'shmoi hagadol yisborach, is to thank and praise his great name, yisborach. Ulahakir oiso yisborach, and to know him, to recognize and to know him. So we now have a few things over here. First of all, we have lahoydeis ulahala, which means to thank and praise, is Shashua Olam Haba. And now he says the main aspect of Olam Haba also is to know Hashem. Lahakir oisoi, to recognize, to know him. Three things we have now. Sha'al yadei zeh, smuchim akarev me'lav yisborach. That through this, through thanking and praising and knowing Hashem, now we're going to be karevim, that means we're going to be close to him. Usmuchim, alav. And so smuchim, so Vered saying something good. Simple understanding, they both kind of mean the same thing. I'm samuch, is being beside something, right? But it also has another connotation, samuch, which Vered is bringing up over here, which means to be soimech on something, means to rely on something. Maybe it means that there's a certain aspect of a relationship to be close to Hashem, karov. And there's another aspect where it's a little deeper maybe, that we rely on Hashem. It's more real. So that we rely on Hashem. Could be. Two aspects of being close to Hashem. So through this, thanking and praising Hashem, we're going to get to know Hashem, and then we're going to be closer to Hashem. The more that we know and recognize Hashem, we're going to be closer to Him, or we will be more attached and reliant on Him. Kishar kol ha-devarim, he's going to bring up an interesting point now. Kishar kol ha-devarim, yisbat l'lasid kulam. Because in the future, meaning in the time of Olam Haba, everything else is going to be gone. Yisbat l'lasid kol ha-devarim, everything is going to be nullified and gone. Bevechinas, like the Gemara tells us, kol korbanos betelim chutz mi korban taida. In the time of Olam Haba, all of the korbanos are what? Are the sacrifices in the temple, in the base of Mikdash. They're all going to be no longer. They're all going to be stopped, except for one, the Korban Toida. The Korban Toida is a offering that is given as a, like in English, they usually translate it as a thanksgiving offering. It's a Korban that one brings to thank Hashem. And we're going to see some stuff about this. All that's going to remain in the future is the aspect of toida vehoida. So if you know Hebrew even a tiny bit, your ears should perk up and you're going to be like, what do you mean toida vehoida? Those are both kind of the same word, right? Toda rabba, thank you very much, right? Toda vehoida, which is kind of like maybe gratitude. So there's two words here. What do they mean? we're going to answer this, hopefully today. Right? That's all that's going to be left in the future. And that's Chanukah. L'hoides l'hal l'adasas yisbrach. To know, to thank, to praise, and to know him. Kemosha kosov, like the Pasuk says, a very special verse, Pasuk in Yeshaya, Yeshaya Yud Aleph, we've said over many, many times, Ki mala ha'aretz dea es Hashem, because the earth will be filled with knowing Hashem, dea es Hashem, kemayim layam mechasim, like water covers the seafloor. Meaning, just like the whole seafloor is covered with water, it's filled. So too, the whole world is going to be filled with knowledge of Hashem. He's using that to show us that the aspect of Olam Haba, the Shashu Olam Haba, the delight of the world to come, the delight of Olam Haba, is going to be this aspect of knowing Hashem. Okay? Shezeh kol Shashu Olam Haba. The last words of this paragraph, that this is the entire delight of Olam Haba. Ze kol shashua olam haba. Okay, so now, having said all that, let's go now and see what we can uncover over here. So I don't know if I have an order here how to get all this stuff out that's in my brain right now, but we're going to do our best. That's it. So let's start with this concept of shashua olam haba, the delight of the world to come. So like I said, I'm bothered by this word because we don't use this word very often. Right? And delight in English tells me absolutely nothing. What's the difference between delight and pleasure, happiness, joy? It's not telling me anything. What does it mean? So let's look at this word first of all. Shashua. If you look at the word, it's an unusual shoresh in Hebrew. Once again, Hebrew speakers' ears should perk up. Usually, for the most part, 99% of the time, a Hebrew word has three shorish letters, right? Three root letters to each Hebrew word. This word, shashua, is really a four-letter shorish. You have a class of verbs that have four letters to the shorish. And, like most of them, it's two letters that repeat. Shin, ayin, shin, ayin. It's an unusual word. And this is the word that means delight of Olam Haba. So, what's with Shinayan, Shinayan? What does that mean? Where does it come from? That's one question we have. Second thing is that we see that in Nach, there's a famous a song, comes from a pasuk. You probably heard it before. Haben Hayakir Le Ephraim. My precious, my son who's precious to me, Ephraim. Kiyeled Shashuim. He's like a delightful child. You could kind of translate it. Right? So there's a connection somehow to a child and this concept of Shashua. To the extent where one of the commentaries says over there, I think it's the Radak, Mitzudas David maybe, says over there, Ka'av ha-mishtasheya im benoy. Like a father who is playing with his son. Shashua. Shashuim sometimes is referred to, mishtasheya means to play. Like when kids are playing, they could be mishtasheya. Shashuim can also be types of toys. There's an aspect of shashua that has something to do with playing, playfulness. Right? What on earth does this mean? Why is it shashua l'mhaba? Where is that coming from? So further to this, hopefully we can keep on a good pathway here. Further to this, you know, we can get a little bit of help from Rabbi Tatz here. So we know there's this concept that if you want to find the meaning of something, you go and look, where's the first place you see it in the Torah? Where's the first place you see the word in the Torah? And you'll get the essence of what that thing is. So there is, I'm not sure this word appears in the Chumash at all, Shashua. But what we do have is the word shin ayin on its own. Sha. And it's right in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Anybody guess where it is? Not you. So, in the story of Cain and Hevel. Cain and Abel. Cain and Hevel. So what happens over there? So Cain, they both bring an offering to Hashem. They both bring an offering to Hashem. Just tell him I'm not available, please, okay? They both bring an offering to Hashem. And the Torah says that, and Hashem turned to the offering of Hevel, but to the offering of Cain, he did not turn to. And the word is Shah. To the offering of Hevel, he turned to, but to the offering of Cain, Loi Shah, he did not turn towards. So we see over here that in one thing we learned from this is that the word Shah on its own means to turn towards. And when you put them together, it's like turning towards and then turning back. It's like turning towards, turning towards, turning towards, turning towards. It's kind of like a loop. And if you think about it, it starts to illuminate what we said before about mishtashe, about an aspect of playfulness. When you play a game with somebody, when you play, kids play together, there's always this aspect of taking turns, of going around and around, right? The playful nature of children is like this. You play a board game, it's like this, right? Something else really awesome that I haven't really brought in. Hopefully, remind me, something awesome that goes with this at the end today. I don't want to forget. Okay, so we're getting somewhere now. We're starting to get somewhere here with Shashua. So there's a turning towards, a going, a playfulness of Shashua, and it's Olam Haba, and it's something about a father playing with his son, this whole thing, right? So let me say like this. Now this is real Rabbi Tatz explanations. L'chaim. Right. So, what are you doing when you're playing a game? And particularly, what are you doing? You could pick a father and a son, mother and daughter, whatever you want. Say a father and son playing Lego, right? Mother and daughter maybe playing, what? Did you say Barbie?
Yeah.
Barbies, right? So now let me ask you this. When the father is coming, when the mother's coming, do they come in and they say to themselves, you know what I want to do for the next hour? I want to accomplish Barbie playing. This is my goal, is to do Barbie playing. Or I'm going to, for the next hour, I want to accomplish Lego building. Right? That's not what's going on. Even with kids, that's not what they come to do. Kids playing together. They're not like, oh, you know what? I got an hour. I can get an hour of Barbie playing done here. That's not what it's about. Right? They're coming. The father is playing with his son. And there's no reason. There's no desire to accomplish something. There's no place to get to, right? The playing together with the child is the destination. There's nowhere else to be. Just being here in this moment, there's nowhere else to be. So too, when kids play together, They're not thinking, you know, we love talking about kids in this shit, right? They're not thinking about thoughts, oh, where do I have to, I only got 5 minutes left, I got to go here, I got to go there. They're not thinking that at all. They don't care what's going on in the world. They're just here right now, and they've arrived. They're at the destination. There's nowhere else to go. They're playing, right? So this is an aspect of this concept of the playfulness of this relationship. But to the father, to the mother, playing with their child, it's the greatest delight in the universe. It's the sweetest thing in the universe to sit and play with your child, right? To the child, there's nowhere else they want to be. It's the greatest delight. So now what do we see over here? Something so awesome that Shashua Elam Haba is telling us that there's an aspect of, and it's Olam Haba. Of there's nowhere else to be. There's nowhere else I want to be. I'm here. I'm at the destination. I don't have to do anything to get somewhere else anymore. I'm here. I'm not building. I'm not thinking about the future. I'm not thinking about the past. I'm just. I'm here. This is Olam Haba. We're there. We arrived. We're here. That's it. It's over. Right? And it's the sweetest, most amazing existence in the world. This is the delight of Olam Haba. I'm here already. So this is one aspect of Olam Haba. And somehow, this is connected to Hanukkah, which we're going to see when we get to the end, probably. Right? But this is one aspect of Olam Haba. So that's one aspect. The second thing is that it seems to be that we're talking about this turning one way, turning another way, turning one way, turning another way, kind of making a loop. There seems to be an aspect of a loop over here. So one of the ways that we've been learning this in the Kollel Toras Chaim with people throughout the world, we've been communicating and learning through this sugya, is that we have these words that jumped out at us. We had Toda, Hoida, and Das, right? And also Lahalel. Toda, Hoida, Lahalel, and Das. So what's going on here? So I want to say it like this. This is with help from my very good friend, Reb Nachman Fried, who's the head of this whole Kollel, and really has a very sweet way of learning these Torahs. But so let's say like this. Let's say you're going to someone's house for a Shabbos dinner. Okay? Show up at someone's house for Shabbos dinner. And as you're leaving, you want to say thank you. So what do? You say, thank you so much for having me. It was a wonderful time. Food was great. It was very inspirational. Thank you. Yeah? So that's like kind of like, in a certain way, that's like a first step. I said thank you. Another aspect of the word toida hoida is not just thanking, but is to acknowledge or to admit. Right? Like in Gemara, you have this all the, where you moida. Did you admit? Did you acknowledge? Right? So there's another step up, another aspect of thanking someone, where you come to the same house, you have the same suda, the same meal, but as you're leaving, you don't just say, thank you, it was great, I really enjoyed it. But you say, wow, thank you so much. You know, your suda really lifted me up. You know, the food that you cooked, that brisket that you made, wow, it was so delicious. And you know those the zemiros that your family sang at the table? Oh, it was mamish like Gan Eden. Oh, and you said Divrei Torah, and it was uplifting. And oh my gosh, that dessert that you made, right? And you go through. So what are you doing? You're now acknowledging all of these details. So we just made a bit of a transition. And in one way, the transition was in the first stage, thank you. It's come out like 99% about me. You did something for me. So thank you for what you did for me. The next step is acknowledging all of these details in a thankful way. Is now I'm transferring less about me and more about the person doing the chesed. Right? I'm saying, oh wow, you did this. You did all of this. You did this. You did this. You did this. I'm now going more towards somewhat of an appreciation and a recognition of you. Not like, oh, you took care of me. It's all about me, so thank you. Now it's like, wow, you took care of me, but look at you. Look what you did to take care of me. Right? That's like a level up. Right? Then, the next one is lahoidais ulahalel, to praise. Praise means it has nothing to do with me. You know, it's just like, wow, I know these two ladies over here, and let me tell you, they're always thinking, and they're always growing, and they're always trying to I'm talking about these two ladies sitting at the table here. And every time we finish the class, they have insights, and they're special people, and it's fantastic. And I could say that, I could go around about every person that I know here, right? But it has nothing to do with me. I'm not thanking you for anything. I'm just happy, blown away by you. So I say it, right? So now it's not about me at all. It's like a three-way rise. Okay, now we got to get to Das. The last one is Das. Das means what? Das means either knowledge. Probably the best way that usually in these types of Torahs that we're defining it is really awareness. Awareness of Hashem. Awareness. So that seems to be the pinnacle. Das, in this first paragraph, Das is the pinnacle. So why? Why and how? How is Das the pinnacle over here? So let's say like this. What do I do? What happens to me when I thank somebody? What happens to me when I thank somebody? What am I doing?
Make yourself feel good.
So let's say like this. Let's just put it straight onto Hashem. We don't need an intermediary example for this one. When I go and I thank Hashem for things in my life, I'll tell you a story in a second. When I go and thank Hashem for things in my life, you know, Hashem, thank you for putting me together with a wonderful wife. I have a fantastic wife. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And not only that, and I follow these steps. And thank you for giving her the traits that she has. And she's a kind person. And she's a hardworking person. And she's smart. And she's, you know, all these amazing qualities that she has. Thank you, Hashem, for all these things. And putting me in a situation where I'm married to someone who has these. You were the shadchan, Hashem. You were the matchmaker. You put us together. Thank you. You know, and thank you for putting me in a neighborhood where there's good people around, and we get together. Thank you for giving me these people that we learn together with. We sit and we learn amazing, amazing deep Torah together. And you know, you were once again the shadchan. You put us all together. Thank you for this. So, what happens when I do that? Did you say humble? For sure. Certainly, it's very humbling. But what is it doing? Is if I didn't do that, I'm just kind of coasting through life. When I start thanking Hashem for all these details, you know what I'm doing? I'm drawing Hashem into all these aspects of my life. And I'm saying, the fact that we're sitting here together, all learning Torah now, Hashem is here. He's here with us. Mamish, in the room, if we could say such a thing. And not only that, Hashem put us, everyone online, over here, wherever it is, Hashem put us all together. He did it. And he's here with us. He's guiding us every step of the way. I can feel that Hashem is here with us right now. Right? I have now Haida like this, thankfulness, gratitude, brings us to Das, to awareness, connection, to living with Hashem. He's here. He's here with me. Every time I see him. Because what am I doing when I'm thanking? I'm saying, you're there at every step of the way. Everything that happens, you're there. You're with me. You're with me. Here's a quick story. So last week, I was in Muncie. I already told Jeff the story. But I was in Muncie last week. And so Thursday morning, I have to travel from Muncie to Lakewood. And so I gotta just go quickly and pick up a few things and find some coffee and breakfast. So I type into the Waze or whatever it is to find a place for kosher coffee breakfast. So I find there's a place, I don't know, 2-3 kilometers away called Yofi Coffee. Okay, shout out to them. I didn't actually go there, But it sounded great, Yofi Coffee. So I'm like, that looks great. So I start driving down the road, and I get to this corner, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the traffic is terrible, and it's terrible where I'm going, and I'm like, I don't want to spend all this time going there, right? So I take a deep breath. I turn to my right, and I look over there, and I see, right, the business that's right beside me, is called Sanders Kosher Bakery. And right beside it is a Sfarim store, Lishkasa Sofer that I have to go to pick up some books, some svarim. So I'm like, you know what? I did a quick search to make sure that it's really kosher, properly kosher. And it turns out it's like the most Heimish Chassidish bakery in Muncie. So I'm like, great. So I turn in, I turn around, and I go into this bakery. I open the door, I walk in, and working at the front counter is this sweet, sweet, sweet Jew called A.Y., Avram Yaakov, who was in yeshiva with my son up until a few months ago. And I have a relationship with this guy. I walk in, and he's like, Rebbe, what are you doing here? He gives me a big hug. I get to see him. I take a picture with him. I send it to my son. I send it to other people from the yeshiva. And I'm thinking to myself, like, we're in the same city. I'm driving by. We're like two little like blinking beacons on a map. And I had no plan to go there. Never even heard of the place before. I'm driving straight. And something just told me, the Rabbanu Shalom told me, turn to the right. Go to the right. I looked to the right and I saw this place and I went there and he put us together. Someone that I know and is so sweet and so and brought simcha to so many people from seeing that we met up there. Right? I got the svarim and I was able to go. But thank you, Hashem, for giving me the opportunity to, and I sat there and ate breakfast and shmooze with him. I got to see him. Thank you. Right? So I could be one of these guys that's like, wow, what a incredible coincidence. What a coincidence, right? But that's not doing the job. Because what happens now is I'm saying, Hashem, you were in the car with me. You're right there with me everywhere I'm going. And you're right there with him. And then you put us together over here. Right? I'm putting Hashem in my life. That's Das. You know what it was like for the rest of the day? I'm driving Muncie to Lakewood, and I'm like, oh, I can't waste a minute. I'm like, I'm listening to Shiurim, and I'm just everything, and the whole day became holy. Because I had more awareness of Hashem now. Thank you, Hashem. So thanking Hashem brings me awareness, puts Hashem into my life, into my days. Well, I got a lot of stories about this, but I'm not going to say them all. Just your life can change if you start to have this relationship with Hashem. Live in gratitude, active gratitude. Living in active gratitude to Hashem, your life, mamash, can change in a very special way. So this is how, now let's get back to the paragraph over here. The loop, the growth, the loop of Olam Haba, Shashua, the game, going around in a circle, just being there, right? No other destination. What is it? It's I start to thank Hashem. And then I get into a higher state of hoidah, let's call it gratitude. First of all, I say thank you. Then I get into a state of gratitude. And in that state of gratitude, I'm like, wow, I'm seeing more things to be thankful for. And so I'm thanking more. I'm in a state of gratitude. Then that turns me into a state of praising. Oh, Hashem is unbelievable. I can't believe what he's doing in my life. Hashem is just, he runs the whole universe and it's good. And now I'm in a state of das, where I'm living with Hashem. I'm walking with Hashem. I'm driving with Hashem. I'm living with Hashem. Awareness, clarity, all the time. And it's going up. Now what happens when I get to that level of Das? Who am I now? Did I change? I expanded. I changed. According to the words of this first paragraph, when I have Das of Hashem, the more I have Das, the more Karov and Samuch, the closer and theoretically more reliant I am on Hashem, the closer I am to Hashem. So that means, after I did this process once, I'm now at a new level and a higher level. So now from this higher level, I have a whole different experience and way to look at the world. I now have a higher ability and a new ability to be able to thank Hashem even more. Right? And now I can start the process again. And the more I'm involved in this, I want to call it a lifestyle, right? But this behavior, the more I'm living like this, in this way, a person being a person of gratitude, I'm just growing in my awareness, growing in my das, growing in my connection, constantly, and it keeps going up, 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 up in this loop of Toida, Hoida, Halel, Das, back again. It's like I'm going in a loop. It's like I'm going in a circle, right? And this is the aspect of the playfulness, the playful nature of Olam Haba. He said, Rabbi Nachman said over here, he didn't say, he brought it from a Gemara, that all that's going to be left in the future, when it's Olam Haba time, is the aspect of Hoida, right? And Das, obviously, right? Why? Because when we're in Olam Haba, in Olam Haba, there's no more mitzvahs, right? There's no more ability. No one can convert anymore after Mashiach comes. It's wherever you are in Olam Haba, however you got yourself there. However, one of the things people always said, I don't know where this comes from, just I've heard it many times, is that, you know, you put yourself on a trajectory in this world of growth. You keep going and you keep going and keep going. Then in Olam Haba, that trajectory keeps going and going and going forever. You get closer and closer and closer to Hashem because you can't do anything new, right? But in Olam Haba, what you do have is what you have Hoida. You have thankfulness. Why? Because you're there. And you're now, everything that ever happened, I can kind of like look back on and say, thank you, Hashem. Now it's clear. Now I see why all those things had to happen to me. I see why every single detail of my life was nothing but the biggest gift from you. I get it now. Wow, thank you for, and I could thank for all these details, and even if that doesn't take an eternity, then I'm going to get to a higher level, and I'm going to realize, even from a different plane, why all of those things were amazing and important and what they did for me. And then I'm going to go now to a higher plane. I'm going to keep going up and up and up in Olam Haba. And what is it? It's this. It's Shashua. It's I'm calling it in my mind, title of this year, is The Playful Delight of Olam Haba.
Amusement.
What?
Amusement.
Amusement, yeah. The Playful Delight of Olam Haba. It's this aspect. And it's akin to, if anyone learned Torah Vav with us before, where we had this concept of tshuva al tshuva. Do you remember this? Where I say sorry, right? But then, after I say sorry, and I become closer to Hashem, I realize, now I know Hashem better. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said sorry in such a superficial way before. Wow, Hashem, now I have to say sorry again. I have to do a new tshuva on the way that I did tshuva in the first place. Here too, it's a similar thing like that. And that goes on, right? You can do tshuva al tshuva forever, for eternity. And here also, it seems like this is something that we're kind of looking at over here. That there's a loop of hoida, toida, hoida, halel, das, that just keeps getting me higher and closer, higher and closer. And Rabbi Nachman's telling us, not only that, but this, we can do in this world also. We can do it here also. We can draw it into this world. There's a few things that are going to be points that we see over and over again in this Torah. One of them is, it's always about drawing in into this existence. Drawing Olam Haba into this world. Drawing, we're going to see later, Shabbos into the weekdays. Right? And it's pretty special in this way. So Hanukkah is drawing the light, drawing that light specifically into this world at this time. Into the Hanukkah is in the darkest time of the year, literally, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to light the menorah low to the ground. We're supposed to, right? And the whole idea of Hanukkah is lighting a candle in the darkest place. Lighting a candle in the darkness. It's drawing light even into the lowest places. That's the whole message of Hanukkah. So that's part of what's going on over here. So we have to take one more step to try to understand this also. Two things. So first of all, what does it mean? Why do we have to say that Das, awareness of Hashem, is being close to Hashem? Like, why do we have to say that? And how does that connect with Olam Haba? So it's really obvious what we're saying over here. But we don't, in Olam Haba, there's no space, there's no time, there's no physical proximity. How are you close to Hashem when it's a completely spiritual existence. There's no, like, I can't reach my arm around and give Hashem a hug. Yeah. The closeness to Hashem of Olam Haba is this, is Das. The more that we know Hashem, the more we are close to Him, and that draws into this world also. When are we closer to Hashem? We can't. Well, here also, you can't give Hashem a hug. You can't say Hashem is in the living room, so let's all go over there. It doesn't work. We don't have that relationship. This world is Alma de Shikra. It's all illusion. We don't get to see Hashem here. We don't have that relationship. So being close to Hashem in this world is knowing Hashem. That's what it means to be close. Yeah? So therefore, this loop, this practice of what, like we're saying, we're going to remember this, guys. Toida, Hoida, Halel, Das. This is always bringing me closer and closer, more to Das, more to knowing Hashem, and that means I'm closer to Hashem, right? So what about the last pasuk? This is important and awesome stuff. The last line in this paragraph quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya that says, "Mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem," the earth will be filled with knowing Hashem, "kamayim layam mechasim," like water covers the seafloor, right? So what does that mean? One second. I don't know how this door got opened, but... yeah, please, if it's open, yeah. So how do we understand this passage? So there's two beautiful ways to understand this verse. One of them comes directly from Rabbi Nachman. One I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Klein. But like this. By the way, Rabbi Tzvi Ari Rosenfeld, he pointed out very logically from this pasuk that the yam is really the floor of the sea. Right? Because it's kamayim layam mechasim. The water covers the yam. Usually the yam, we think, is the water. Yam is the seabed. And the water covers it. That's a very side point. Side point. But what's the lesson of this? What's the deeper understanding of this? So two aspects. The first one, this is the one I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Klein. He said like this: if you look into an ocean or into a sea, or even into a pond, and you see fish, sea creatures live in the ocean. Fish, right? There they are. Fish have something unique that we can learn from, a lot of things, but one aspect in particular is that fish swim in the water. They're living in and swimming in the very thing that gives them life. We don't really have that experience. We walk on the earth. Okay, we have air, but we live. We feel like the earth is our home. We don't say I'm moving through the air. We don't really notice the air, right? But a fish. It's literally living in, swimming in, moving through the very thing that gives it life, right? It's inseparable on a sort of more tangible level from the source of its life. This is how we are meant. This is what we're trying to do with our relationship to Hashem. Fish are mamish; they're swimming in it, right? They're swimming in it. We want to be in this type of existence where as I'm walking through the world, it's as if I'm swimming through Hashem. Everything that I come in contact with, everything I see is Hashem, every air that I breathe, every step that I take, every move that I make, it's all Hashem. Hashem is everything, is everywhere, right? Just like the fish. When they're swimming through, they're breathing. Their breath comes from here. I guess they kind of drink, but their food comes from there. Their movement comes from there. Everything they have comes from the ocean. So our das of Hashem, mala ares deyas Hashem, the earth is going to be filled with knowing Hashem. What's it going to be like? Like the ocean, just like those fish are in the ocean. That's going to be us. Every aspect of us is going to be imbued with knowing Hashem and being close to Hashem. So that's the first one. It's pretty awesome already. Second one, so Rabbi Nachman speaks about this in another Torah. I think it's Chaf Aleph in the first section of Likutei Moran. I have to go back and look. But, and I'm sort of, I'm paraphrasing it a little bit and kind of tweaking it a tiny bit from what he says. But, so he says like this. One of the other aspects of the ocean, when you go out, stand on the seashore, and you look out to the sea, and what do you see? Especially if it's a calm day, doesn't really make a difference. But especially if it's calm, what do you see?
The vastness of it.
Vast, for sure. Vastness, yeah. And also, it's just a flat surface, right? It's just one big long flat surface, and it's like, oh, I get in a boat and I could cross the ocean, and all I'm thinking about is that I'm crossing that flat top of the whole sea wherever I am. Right? However, anyone who knows a little bit knows that if you look under the water, you'll see that the seafloor in particular is an Amish. It's up, it's down, there's trenches, there's mountains in the ocean, under the water. The deepest place on Earth, the Mariana Trench, right, is in the ocean, and it's like, I don't know, it's kilometers down. It's like very, very, very deep. So we have a tendency, some of us maybe, right, to look at the events in our lives as being good and bad, right? Like you know what? Oh, things are amazing. This was great. I had this experience. I had a big simcha over here. I got a raise in my job, right? Oh, I bought a new car. I got, you know, whatever. Someone had a baby. And these are good things. But when, oh my gosh, you know, I had a terrible thing. I lost my job. God forbid. This is a bad thing. From our Olam Hazel eyes, from our this world eyes, these are bad, right? Difficulties, challenges, right? I slipped up. I did something that I told myself I was never going to do. And I was holding on, and I was holding my self-respect and my own personal dignity. And then I did something, and I can't believe I did that, right? I fell. I had a big yirida. I fell down. And so we look at the world as if there's good things and there's bad things. There's hills and there's valleys. There's ups and there's downs, right? So Lamaisa, the truth is, in the real truth, even though we can't always see it, yeah? This is probably one of the topics I think we talk about most other than anything. Menachem speaks about this a lot, right? It's all one. It's all Hashem. And you know, those great things where I can be like, wow, thank you Hashem for this amazing thing. You're right, that's Hashem. But you know that time when something bad happened and you thought that it was the end of the world, that was also only for your good, 100% for your good, right? And so what does that mean? It means that right now we see hills and valleys. We see mountains and trenches, yeah? But in Olam Haba, it's going to be like Kamayim Leyam Mechasim. Just like the ocean is all one. It's all one thing. The whole thing is one. And it's all one flat thing. It's all Hashem. So too. All those, and we don't care about how deep it is here and how high it is there and where's the trenches. We don't care for the most part. Right? So too. That's how we're going to see in Olam Haba. We're going to see that all of existence from creation through all of those difficulties and all those challenges, everything was perfect. Everything was a gift from Hashem. And I don't mean to, by the way, minimize anyone who's suffering through things and to say that like, don't worry and you shouldn't be sad. You shouldn't. These emotions have to be worked through and it's important, right? And we feel, whether we like it or not, we feel things now. The Gemara tells us that nowadays, in the world we live in, that we should be able to make a bracha on the good things the same way as the bad things. Bad things the same way as the good things. But now we don't. When good things happen, we say Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv, and when bad things happen, we say Baruch Dayan Emes. It's like an acknowledgement that that's kind of the way things are right now. But what Rabbi Nachman is telling us over here is that, yeah, it's true. That's the way it is. But that's not our goal. We are trying to draw Olam Haba into this world. We're drawing it into this world. This is a big part of all of Hasidus. Is we're not okay with just the darkness. We're trying to draw the light into everything, right? So we're trying to draw Olam Haba into this world. We're trying to draw Shabbos into the weekdays. We're trying to draw the light of Hanukkah into the darkness. This is what we do. So we, even though we face these difficulties and these challenges, we're trying and we're making our effort through the pathway that Rabbi Nachman is going to lay out for us in this Torah in particular. We are going to draw in Olam Haba into this world. We're going to bring in clarity. We're going to bring in Das of Hashem, awareness of Hashem. We want to be like the fish swimming, and every moment and every movement and everything is together with Hashem. Right? We want to feel Hashem with us all the time. We want to have constant Das of Hashem. We want to experience that the whole world is the oneness of Hashem. Right? We're going to see one of the main... I'm major spoiler alert here, but we can do that in Rabbi Nachman's Torah, because no matter how much we try to spoil, it's still amazing. Right? But one of the main points later on in the Torah is going to be the concept of Achdus HaPashut, which means either simple unity or absolute oneness. It's just the oneness of Hashem. And that we're drawing that into what's called Pu'ulos Mishtanis, which means... It means, I think he translates it as diverse phenomena, the multiplicity of this world. We're drawing that into this world, the oneness into this world, the multiplicity, right? This is what Rabbi Nachman is going to teach us in this lesson. And this lesson contains within it real etzas that can mamish be life-changing. They can really have a powerful effect on us. So just a couple more points just to get us going to the next place that we're going to be doing. It's important to know also that, and you'll see why, that this world, we usually look at this world, we're talking Kabbalah now. This is the Kabbalah pathway. That's going to be one of the pathways through this Torah. Kabbalah, this world we usually look at as the seven lower spheres, right? Which is Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. The seven lower spheres. The spheres that are above that are really the hidden spheres, meaning Keser, Chachma, Bina, right? Keser is Bechal, above everything. Chachma and Bina are hidden within the intellect. They're not revealed, right? But the seven lower spheres are the spheres that are more revealed within the world. And so we see, pardon me, there's seven lower spheres, there's 7 days of the week, right? It's part of the structure of this world. Between Pesach and Shavuos, when we're doing Sfiras HaOmer, and that whole time is all about just us growing level by level through this world, right? What is it? It's cycles of seven. Because this world is seven. You have 7 days of the week. You have 7 years of the Shemitah cycle. You have seven Shemitah cycles to the 50th year of the Yovel, the Jubilee cycle, right? This is this world. But the Sira of Olam Haba is the Sira of Bina. And Bina, of course, if you count from the bottom up, is the eighth sphera. It's the eighth sphera. Right? So when we're drawing in Olam Haba into this world, right, we're drawing the eighth sphera into the seven in a certain sense. So this is why, and we'll see especially as we go through, why Hanukkah is so amazing. Because it's the Shmainas Yemei Hanukkah. It's the 8 days of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not about this world. It's not about sevens. Hanukkah breaks all the cycles. My friend, you know, our friend Shmuley Fuchs, he said also, it's weird in Hanukkah, right? We have a silver menorah, silver candelabra, and we're lighting this in the middle of the week. Don't we have silver candelabras for Shabbos? It's like we're doing the action of candlelighting of Shabbos, but it's through the weekdays. It's through the whole time. It's as if we're saying we're breaking through the cycles of this world. And we're pulling it, and it's 8 days, it's not seven. It's 8 days, it's Olam Haba time. right? It's above time. It's above the cycles of this world. 8 days of Hanukkah. And it's bringing that light into the lowest, darkest place. This is what Hanukkah is all about, is drawing that in. So Hanukkah, because of that it's eight, it's drawing that eighth sphera from the bottom up of Bina into the lower seven. It is drawing Olam Haba into Olam Hazeh, into this world. It's drawing the world to come into this world. So that's how Hanukkah really fits into everything that we're saying here so far right now. So to conclude, we want to be people who are not just living in the darkness of Olam Hazeh. This is what Hanukkah is all about. We're not content. We are not accepting to live in a place of darkness and confusion and what's the other word I usually use? Darkness and whatever. Darkness and confusion and difficulty and strife. Strife and suffering. We're not accepting it. We are people who are going to draw in the light of Hanukkah. We're going to draw in the light of Das, of awareness of Hashem. And we're going to start. The first of our advices over here is to thank Hashem. And then to thank Hashem for details. And to praise Hashem. And then to know Hashem. To bring Hashem into our lives. Be like fish who swim with Hashem. Every movement. Everything, right? And one of the most important of the principles of learning Likutei Moran, I don't think we ever spoke this out in our previous shiurim. I can't remember which of the principles it is, but I'll take a look. Is that it's impossible to understand the lessons that Rabbi Nachman teaches if you don't use the advice that he gives us in these lessons and actually work on it and apply it in our lives. If you don't fulfill the advice that Rabbi Nachman gives, you will not have the understanding of the Torah that you could have. Right? Because as we know, this Torah is so high and so lofty. We're not zoicha to learn it. We don't merit to learn it because we're smart. It has to be revealed to us. And in order to have that happen, we have to make ourselves vessels, kelim, that can receive it. Rabbi Nachman's telling us, if you want to, you know how he got to be able to experience the delight of Olam Haba? By doing this. That's why he's writing it. He lived it. And experience the Shashua Elam Haba. And then he tells us, each of us on our own level, we can do the same thing. So we gotta put it into practice. So we have homework every week. We gotta go and we gotta forget about the negativity and we gotta, sometimes, caveat, and we have to look for what we can thank Hashem for. Look around, because when we do that, we're bringing in Olam Haba, we're bringing in Das of Hashem. Just connecting Hashem to every aspect of my life through thanking Him for the goods and the bads. And Mirtz Hashem, through that, we'll understand deeply, we'll connect to Rabbi Nachman, He'll connect us to Hashem on a deeper, deeper level. We will draw down the light of Hanukkah, and we'll begin to experience Hanukkah on a different level, God willing. Any comments?